Are you ready to get the support you need for your author career and life? Join international indie bestseller Angela J. Ford and fantasy author Stephanie Wabwa as they talk all things writing, publishing, and the real life of an indie author. Welcome to the Indie Author Lifestyle Show. Living your best indie life starts here.
Welcome to the Indie Author Lifestyle Show with me, Angela J. Ford.
And with me, Stephanie Wabwa.
Well, Stephanie, I've had a busy week, a little bit of a crazy day, but how are you? What are you working on? What's new?
What's up, Angela? So, busy week, yes. It's only Monday as we're recording this, and it's already feeling like Wednesday, Thursday. And also with busy weeks coming up, it's just, you know, preparations for a lot of things. But story-wise, super excited. You know me, Plotsville as usual. If you guys haven't gathered by this episode, Stephanie Wawa myself, I am the plotter. Angela is the pantser. And so for me, I'm always in the nitty-gritty of outlining or plotting or something related to that. And so the exciting thing for me, if you guys are not aware by this point, is I am close to drafting. Woo! All the bells and whistles, throw all the confetti. I'm super excited. I have been filling goals for those of you, just a little bit about my process as I go through my different phases of outlining, from writing out scenes and storylines, all that good stuff. Once I have a complete outline with all of the scenes and the storylines for each one of my points of view in my story, then I go ahead and I start to fill out plot holes just to make sure a lot of things make sense, which for me is a really big deal, because as I was filling up plot holes, y'all, I've had to like take out so much stuff. I've had to cut things out. I've had to change the order of where I had them. So for those of you who don't know, I write according to 3-act theory. It's very popular for writers. Some other, you know, writers use different types of story structure, but I personally love 3-act theory. And so I am now progressing to the second half of Act 2. So I have completed all of, I've filled all of the plot holes up through the second plot point, which is the midpoint of the novel. And now I am entering the back end, so to speak. So now I am entering into the second half of Act 2. So I'm super excited about that. It's like the second meatiest part of the book. And then, you know, kind of like finishes out, you know, pushing to that climax and that resolution. So that's where I'm at. Super excited. I should be done now. Now that I've reached this point, I know I'll be done in a few days, and then I can get ready for writing, which I'm super pumped about. And so what about you, Angela? How is Night of the Dark Fae going?
Congratulations. That is awesome. I also write using the 3-act structure. I absolutely love it. It just makes everything so organized and easy. At least I feel that way. And then when I get stuck, because I'm a pantser and I will get stuck because I did not go through and plot out my plot holes beforehand, I can just go back to looking at the structure and say, okay, this is ideally what should be happening next. It should be a big scene. It should be a throwdown, or we need more information about the world. It just really helps with figuring out what happens next. And I feel like that's a problem with pantsers, is that we start writing something, we get really excited about it, and we just go for it. We just dive into the character, the world, and then we get our inspiration runs out and we're left hanging with that what happens next kind of feeling. Are these plot holes are so massive, I need to go back and refill them. And I feel like going back to the structure and looking at it really helps me. Ever since I started following story structure a little bit more, even though I'm pantsing my way through, following story structure is massive, I haven't had that same writer's block, complete meltdown where I couldn't write for like a year. That hasn't happened. So that's massive. That is massive. Yeah, it happened with my second book that I ever wrote, The Blended Ones. I started writing it for NaNoWriMo in 2015. And I wrote the first draft and it was awful. It was so bad that I just was creatively shut down for a year.
Whew. So that is quite the long time. But that's actually really relatable, because I think that happens to a lot of us writers, even when we do plot. Like if we miss something and it just throws us for a loop, we just don't know, okay, where are these characters supposed to go? What's supposed to be happening here? I know how it starts. I have an idea of how it's supposed to end, but I feel like my novel is dying in here in the middle and I have no idea how to fix it. And then we kind of just get in this place like, oh, well, you know, I'll shelve you and I'll come back. And hopefully when I return, I can figure this out.
Exactly. And I feel like applying the story structure, that has helped me really move forward with things and really think things through and think through scenes. And so I don't have that complete and utter shutdown. I still have struggles when it comes to writing, but it's not the same as before. So that's really helpful. And I think just to segue into our topic for today, tools for writing and publishing, I think having the right tools also helps with making sure your story is flowing and moving forward. So I would love for you to share, and I know this is going to be a big topic and we're going to have a lot to say about it, but what are some of the tools you use for writing? And I know you do a lot of plotting. What really has helped you? And what would you say are the must-have tools for writers, regardless of whether you're a plotter or a pantser?
Yes, regardless of which side of the spectrum you end up on. So for me, several tools. I am a big Google Suite person. I use just about most of the main ones. So we're talking about Google Docs. We're talking about Google Drive to keep everything organized. Google Sheets, you know, I put a lot of information in Google Sheets. And also recently, I've also been using Google Keep. It's kind of like their notes function. So it's an Evernote kind of, but like a very basic version of it, which is fine for me. It's also kind of like the innate note app on the iPhone. It's just that I like Keep because it automatically goes into my Google Drive. And so everything is just there. So those are the Google products that I use. Google Drive just for organizing everything, Google Docs as far as like just fleshing things out, whether I'm brain dumping, whether I'm kind of just putting everything in order, so to speak, or if I'm fleshing something out, if I'm kind of just journaling through backstory. I like to use a lot of journal prompts so that I can dig into backstory and really understand where are these characters coming from, what happened in this world, you know, years ago that makes it the way it is now, things like that. Google Keep for my note taking, and then Google Sheets where it's kind of like Excel, so to speak, but I've used Sheets for my magic system. I've used Sheets for my world building, and I've also used Sheets for my character development. I have multiple POVs, and so points of view, for those of you who don't know what that term is. And so what I do is I'll have like my questions in one column, and then I will have the different characters in a different row. And so as I fill out the questions, I can see, oh, okay, this is what they're like. And I can see how, you know, the similarities between them, the differences between them, how they intertwine, and you know, so how then it can also help me know, okay, in the story, this is kind of how they're going to be interacting with each other, how they'll meet, and things like that. So Google products for sure.
I love also, that. I'm just gonna hop in and say that that's absolutely brilliant, the way you kind of organize all of that stuff. And I like the way you organize your characters and your point of views as well. That's really cool. And that nugget is something that I definitely need to do with my points of view. So it's all very organized and together. I think that organizing everything with Google Docs is brilliant. I usually use a combination of notes, and then I actually have a bunch of actual physical journals where I put all my stuff. So it's a similar process, because I think you do need to have all of your things in one place for the pre-writing where you're bouncing around your ideals and everything. But it sounds like you're very organized. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, for sure. So for me, it's just the kind of personality that I have. Like, I have to be able to track everything, or else I'm not, like, I get confused, I get lost, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And then it's like meltdown mode, and then like steam coming out of the ears, you know? So for me, like, I definitely have to have everything organized and in one place. And for me, that just helps, you know? And just because I write very big worlds, so there's always more than one character, there's always more than one place that they're going to, and it's not like, oh, a little stop into the world and then they kind of like run away. They spend quite some time there, so I have to develop that world. And so I do the same thing for world building in my world building sheet. I will have all of the questions in one row, which is a lot of questions. And then, you know, I mean, my world building is broken down. We will definitely do an episode about that later on, because it. I mean, there's just a lot, right? But I'll have the questions in Runra, and then I'll have the different worlds, you know, labeled at the top, and then I'll answer all the questions, and then I can see, okay, this is how these worlds are built. You know, this is what their societies and their cultures look like, what they believe, all that good stuff. And then that also helps me to see, you know, okay, this is why, so, you know, these worlds, they're allied together, these worlds are enemies, this one's kind of like a gray one, they're an opportunist, you know, so, like, whichever one seems like they'll win the war, that's the one they'll ally themselves with. So, I love being able to see that. Google, I'm just a Google person in general. I've been using Google products for years and years. So I'm also very comfortable with it. I know for some people it might be a learning curve and they're not a fan. But for me, I'm very used to Google products. So I use it for everything. Every time I start a story, I create a folder in my drive labeled as that. And then I'll create folders within that for characters and on and on and on. So that's Google products. I also use, and then, you know, when I write, a music person, and presently I do not use Spotify. I did before, and, you know, disclaimer, Spotify has some of the most amazing playlists out there for people who want to write, because so many people curate playlists and then they share it on Spotify. But right now I presently use Apple Music. And so I build my playlist from scratch. Every time I start a project, I automatically start a playlist for it. And I start curating songs for it just to get jazzed up and in the mode. You know, because depending on what you're writing, the vibe that you need to write it is different, you know? And so I'll start curating a playlist. I am a fan of soundtracks, but instrumental ones. It's very rare that there will be a song on the playlist that I have for my book that has someone, you know, that has like lyrics to it. First of all, that distracts me, because then I start thinking about the words and then I can't write. So, like, it has to be an instrumental. And also when it is an instrumental, it kind of like downloads into my psyche, and it causes me for some reason to just really be in the pages, and like I can flesh out. When I start writing, I can literally flesh out so many words when the right song is on. It is powerful. And I know you know, you can talk a little bit about this too, Angela. Oh, yeah. I know you use music when you write. I mean, we love fantasy soundtracks. They're just awesome.
I think we're very similar in that way, is that I like to think of music as emotion that you can hear. That is my word for it.
Oh,
and
good.
Right there with you. I use Spotify actually as my platform of choice for compiling all my music and creating those playlists. But like you, I definitely have to have it without the words. It needs to be something instrumental that's absolutely beautiful. And then it just downloads into my consciousness and I can just go. I sat down to write the other day and there was a song that you recommended. And I turned it on and I had it on repeat, and I just sat down and I wrote like 2,000 words without even thinking about it. And then I came up for air and I was like, oh, wow, that was powerful. So that definitely, music is a must-have tool. Like, it just transports me away. And I think it also has a lot to do with, I grew up, everyone in my family, they're all musicians. And so I've been very just surrounded by that musician focus and that love of the music and understanding what the different instruments mean and just the emotion behind it. And I have a degree in music, so there's that too. Music business, but potato, potato. but it really helps. So that definitely is something I agree with. It's a must-have tool for writing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't think I mean, of course I could write without music, right? But it's not the same. You know, I can't, as you said, and I love that, you know, it's that emotion that immerses when you begin to, that emerges when you begin to write, you know, like it just comes up and it's like, oh, this is what I'm to be feeling, you know? It definitely helps, honestly. So I love music. That's the second thing. That's another tool that I use. Again, I use Apple Music as of right now. Pretty sure I'll flip-flop and end up back in the world of Spotify in 2020 at some point. I just tend to do that like every 6 months, guys, because I can't make up my mind. So So Google products, music on Apple Music. And then, what was it? Okay, so tools, right? So Pinterest, my lovely writer friends.
I'm so excited to bring this up.
Pinterest is our best friend, okay? Like, someone was thinking of us when they created Pinterest. I am a huge storyboarding person. First of all, Pinterest is a beautiful black hole. We should call it like a golden scarlet thread white hole. You know, like, it's just beautiful and just like magical, right? Because I go in there and I'm able to see my world. I'm able to see my characters. I'm able to see. And the beautiful thing with Pinterest too is that because there's so many images on there, when I create my storyboard, and now I intentionally create my inspiration, I don't just pin everything, mainly because I'm not writing everything, right? So I pin intentionally. I pin things that will give me inspiration specifically for the different elements of my novel when it comes to my characters, when it comes to the world, all of that fun stuff. I'm very meticulous, even with my own storyboard. It doesn't end, guys, you know, Plottersville for life. So when it comes to pinning, you know, I love it because it also sometimes challenges me. You know, I will think, okay, I want a character to be, I want her to have, you know, African, I want her to be an African American, and I want her to have like this kind of color and this kind of physique. And then I'll be going through the pictures and I'm like, oh, she ought to look like this instead. Like, I'll see the image and I'm like, that's what she looks like. Like, I can scroll and certain things will jump out at me. Oh, this is what the place looks like, or this is how I can describe it. Visually seeing my world helps a lot because it helps me to not have to live in the world of the thesaurus all day, you know, like trying to figure out multiple words to describe one thing. You know, I love it. I can see the different elements of my world from, you know, mythical creatures like sirens, mermaids, fairies, angels, demons, all of the good stuff. I can see what characters are supposed to look like. I can see, oh, okay, this is what a forest look like. This is what a desert plain would look like. This is how you describe that. Even for little things like food and fashion sense and festivals, all of that stuff is part of our books, right? You know, they go to parties, they have fun, they have birthdays, they eat all the good food after they, you know, went and assassinated three people. They come home and drink hot cocoa before going to bed, you know? So Pinterest is probably one of like the biggest parts of my storytelling, because I dig in and I pin away all of the visual inspo so that through the process, I'm like, oh, I have a storehouse of inspiration. What is writer's block when you have a storyboard with like 1,000 pictures in it? Like, honestly, and I know you love Pinterest, so I'd love to hear your thoughts about it too.
No, I wish it was something that I had discovered earlier to assist with writing, because now whenever I feel stuck or I really want to be very inspired, I'll go in and I'll create a Pinterest board and then I'll just browse and I'll just pin different images. And sometimes it's character, but a lot of times I am in love with gorgeous, beautiful fantasy landscapes. And then I'm very curious about the monsters and the weapons. And so pulling all those things onto a board and saying, okay, like, now I know what my character, this is what kind of weapon he or she is going to carry. These are the monsters that they're going to come in contact with. Here is the lake that they live by, and here's what it looks like, and here are the flowers. Just like having that inspiration, it's powerful. And so that also is something, I know we're not really talking about writer's block, but having that inspiration right there and having that visual inspiration, it just really helps to push forward. And I just started a new story and I've been browsing through photos and just pinning them to a board just because they're so beautiful and it really helps me get the creative juices flowing and find other new things to write about and things to incorporate into the story. And I really feel like the five senses, just making sure I'm focusing on all of those different things and the different celebrations that they have, the food, like that kind of stuff is awesome. And so having those visuals is really inspirational to help me move forward with kind of whatever story I'm doing. And I'm starting to do it more now. I'm not since I'm doing more of a pantsing, I don't really think about it ahead of time, but now I'm starting to go ahead and create a pin board when I'm starting a story and pin everything to it. And I'm finding now I can create stories based off of visuals, which is one thing I've been doing with buying pre-made covers. I'll see one and a story will start to form because I'm looking at a visual. And then I can just play off of that to continue to create the rest of the story. So I'm starting to be more visually minded when it comes to stories, and I absolutely love it. It's so much fun. So yeah, I highly recommend it. If you haven't started your pin board, do it. It is kind of a black hole, so you'll have to watch yourself and beware. But it's a lot of fun getting in there and creating that board so that you know what your world looks like. And especially for fantasy writers, when we have so many different pieces we're touching, we're not just here on Earth where everything is familiar. We really have to familiarize readers with what we're doing. And I feel like having that board just helps you go the extra mile for that.
Absolutely. I agree. Pinning with moderation, because yes, it is a black hole, but it's so true. You know, I found myself like a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh, weapons, dear God. And I had to go on Pinterest and like look up, okay, different fantasy weapons. Oh, this is what they look like. This is what you do, you know? So I love it. Getting that visual inspiration is a game changer, because you don't have to be stuck, you know, especially if you come to a point in your storytelling where you're like, oh, okay, like they live in this palace. What does it look like? What are the different halls in a palace? Like, you know, like, how can you make it as relatable for your readers, but still like this majestic, enchanting place that your characters live in, right? So Pinterest is definitely a huge thing. And then my favorite all-time, gotta have it, software, Scrivener. Y'all, listen, Scrivener is life, okay?
It is. This is, oh gosh.
Scrivener is literally life. I know some people gripe about it. I am not one of them. They can have my coins forever. Like, Scrivener is absolutely amazing. Just think of having notebooks and binders and, you know, boards with pictures and like index cards and highlighters. Think of having all of that in one tool digitally that you can literally access on your computer, on your iPad, on your phone. No matter where you are, you can have access to your story and you can build, so you don't have to carry 50 trillion, you know, little sticky notes with you all the time. You have it in your Scrivener. So Scrivener is absolutely awesome. I actually don't use it as extensively as I could, meaning like all the features that they have, and it's still absolutely amazing. Can you imagine if I used all the features? Like, you know, I have a binder, you know, I can go in there, create my binder for my story, and have all of the different folders in there that are labeled after characters, labeled after worlds, put in all of the information in there that I've curated, you know, added everything to my Google Drive. And so now I can put specific information in there relative to the story, and I love it. I think the main thing I love about Scrivener is the ability to have a like a digital board of index cards, you know, what we call our cork board, right? We're able to go in there and just write in these cards. And so if you have to move it and you're like, you know, if you wrote it at the beginning, you're like, oh dear God, this is better at the end, you can literally just click the thing and drag it and drop it. And boom, just like that, you fixed, you know, a huge issue, rather than if you were in a notebook, you would have to like scratch it out, flip 10,000 pages, rewrite it at the end and see, okay, does this make sense? Like, you know, and so I love Scrivener. Just, it's, okay, so I'm not going to say, it does come with a learning curve. Full disclosure, you know, to all our listeners, Scrivener does come with a learning curve. However, it is worth it, because it truly makes the writing process so much simpler. For me, the biggest thing is the fact that I can move things around. If I write, you know, if I don't want chapter 15 to be chapter 15 and I need it to be chapter 32, I can move it to that. If, you know, I don't want to delete what I have. I can just drag it in an archive folder and leave it there. And maybe three books later, I'll come back and realize, oh, I can use that scene now. You know, if I want to include pictures, if I want to include, you know, research links and articles, and, you know, you can even add, I do believe like you can add clip, like little video things if you just like link it in there. And, you know, I've added my, what I've done is, you know, I'll create, you know, how I told you guys, okay, I do all of my world building and all of that in Google Sheets. I will literally export it as a PDF and then upload that into Scrivener. So now I can click in Scrivener and see everything that I've written for my world or whatever the case may be. And then I can just use that information as I'm writing. I can have a book series Bible in there. Like the thing is so stanking amazing. Like I can preach, as y'all can tell, I am a Scrivener evangelist. You know, let my energy motivate you to go get your own copy. Like, it is so good. I love it. It has made writing, the reason why I was so ecstatic when I found it is because I was writing my books before in Pages. Right. Deep, heavy sigh, pain in the chest, you know. So, like, if I needed to change something, I would have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. And then if I messed something up, I'd be like, oh, dear God, where in the manuscript is this? I can't find it. What is going on? I would forget stuff. But with Scrivener, it's like you literally can do whatever you want. It's like opening up a binder and just flipping to what you need. Oh, this is what this is. Okay, cool. Her eyes are actually blue, not purple. Got it. And you're able to go back and fix what you need. So honestly, I could preach about it all day. We'll probably do another episode on Scrivener only. But yeah, that is probably the biggest tool that I use besides the Google Suite products. Scrivener, hands down, is necessary for me. Like I don't care if you're a pantser plotter or a hybrid, you need to have Scrivener in your toolbox. It's so important.
I mean, hands down, I don't know if I could say anything else to really motivate people to get Scrivener, because it is the number one best tool. If I could only pick one writing tool for the rest of my life, it would be Scrivener, because the way that it changed my writing process was fantastic. I wrote my very first novel, which was about 120,000 words in Microsoft Word. And let me tell you, I was pulling my hair out by the end of it, just because I like to write scenes out of order. And so I wrote the end, and then I wrote some of the almost the end and some of the mid part. And doing that in Word was a nightmare, because then I had to reorganize everything and copy huge long texts and move it to another place and make sure I deleted it. It was so frustrating. And then when it came time to send it to a formatter, when it came time to send it to an editor or send it to beta readers, it was such a struggle because it was in Microsoft Word and there weren't any other formats that would be good for people to have. So one of my favorite things about Scrivener that you already touched on, Stephanie, is the fact that you can write all your chapters out of order and then reorganize them. So I put every single chapter into its own folder. I don't worry about naming it. I don't worry about where it goes in the story. I just write it, and then I can just drag it into the place where it goes when I'm ready. Although I have been able to start writing in chronological order, that's something that I've really started doing, and it's been really fun. So that's a lot different for me, and I'm enjoying it. I'm making progress. I'm not being a crazy pantser. I'm making progress towards being more organized and having a better story. And that's always my goal. But I also love using Scrivener because every time I write a scene, I like to export it as a .mobi, which is a Kindle file that I can read on my Kindle. And then I'll go ahead and export it. All my work is saved in Dropbox. And then I can go to my phone, pull up that file, and open it in my Kindle. And then I can read it. I like to reread what I've written because it gives me more ideals, and then it also shows me what I can fix and change. And so I'll do that a lot throughout the days that I'm writing, throughout the weeks, the months. I'll go back and just reread my story over and over again. And also reading on a Kindle really helps with catching those formatting errors and those typos and anything where you can start noticing where you repeat yourself a lot or your character is doing the same thing over and over again and you kind of like change and shift like her emotional response or use different words or kind of change it up. And so I love doing that because then also on the Kindle app, I can make notes. I can just highlight a word and make notes, and then I can go back to my computer, pull up both things and go, okay, like now I need to go to chapter 5 and go down to the third page where, or the third paragraph where I had the scene, and I need to rework it now because I read that in the Kindle app. So I absolutely love that. I love that it also works so well with Vellum, which is Vellum is what I use for formatting all my books. It is, I can't even explain how amazing Vellum is. It's fantastic. I used to format my books myself, and I used to format in Microsoft Word, and it took about 10 hours. I would be tearing my hair out because it would be so completely frustrating. And then I'd be uploading it to Amazon. I'd be getting these errors and it would be so frustrating. Both for like the Kindle didn't look as good as I wanted it to look. And then the print version, I just struggled so much. But Vellum is a formatting software. It's only for PCs. So if you're a PC user, highly recommend it. If you're not, I highly recommend getting a PC so you can use it. But you can literally just export your document from Scrivener and import it into Vellum. And it'll spit out everything, all the right chapters. You can go through and change up your headings, add images if you want to, but it's literally done in less than 30 minutes. Like I did a box set that came out in 2010, and it took me not even an hour to format a box set. And that was over, let me think, it was over 400,000 words. And so that right there is massive. And if you're doing a lot of publishing, you need to format. It'll spit out a file in all the different formats, which is awesome. So if you need an EPUB to upload to anything, if you need a Mobi file to upload to Kindle, if you just want to put your files into BookFunnel so you can send them over to your advanced review team, you can do that too. And so those are some of the tools that Scrivener works well with, and those are the tools that I use on an ongoing basis. And so it's just such a relief to have one central writing tool that works with everything and allows me to read my work on the go and go back and edit it or archive what needs to be archived, but not lose my work because I had to delete it. And also the fact that everything's backed up to the cloud. So I had to erase my computer recently. I got a new computer and it was just no stress at all because everything's backed up, you know, just pull up Scrivener again and there's all my work. No stress at all. So I absolutely love it. It is one of my favorite tools. I don't use it to the best of my ability yet. I'm learning new things all the time, but it's absolutely wonderful. Can't say enough good things.
Absolutely. And one more thing about Scrivener. I'm telling you what, I can go on all day. But another thing, they have this thing called composition mode. So what composition mode does is you click it and it basically takes away every single distraction. So your screen is nothing but the words that you're writing. I mean, like the toolbar gone, the clock gone, everything is gone. It's nothing but the words. And so that helps you to hyper-focus when you are in your sprint sessions or, you know, you're just buckling in to write all day. The thing has so many features to the benefit of writers. It was created by authors for authors, okay? This is why they were able to curate something that we need so badly, because they needed it, right? So Scrivener is an amazing tool. I know what I was doing without Scrivener, and my nightmare as well. Y'all, you try to write a book of 140K in pages and you tell me how you enjoyed yourself. That was my experience. 140 something K in pages. Almost lost my mind. I just never again. So those are the main tools and platforms that I use: Pinterest, Apple Music, the Google products from Drive, Docs, Sheets, and Keep, and then also Scrivener as well. I'm trying to think. I feel like there is another tool that I use, and I just cannot think of what it is right now. But there
probably is, which is no worries. If there's anything else you think of, we'll just add it to the show notes, and so people can definitely see it.
Angela, you did mention that you use Vellum. But what are some tools that I did not mention that you use?
Well, there are only a handful of them. Vellum for formatting, absolutely love that. And then one of the other tools that I use, which is just to help me increase my writing production and stay more motivated, I use a tool that's for writing sprints. It's called forwardthewords.com. And it is a gaming website where you can go in, you set up your profile, and as you finish different word counts, you unlock different levels in the game. So it's a lot of fun. I've been using that for, I think I started using it at the beginning of 2019, and I saw my writing production just immediately pick up. I went from writing like 2,000 words a day to just being able to knock out 6,000, really enjoying it. So it's been a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. It does have a subscription cost of a very low fee of $4 a month. So you won't break the budget, but it's fantastic. And I really like using that. And I'll add a code to the show notes so you can get a free trial, I think, to let you try it out and see what you think. But I've been using that for almost 10 months, and it's just really helped me with moving forward and knocking out more words. And I haven't struggled as much with writing block at all since I've started using that. And I think it's because before I sit down to write, I kind of like to brainstorm a little bit just to figure out where my character is going next, just do a little creative thinking, and then I'll sit down and write because I know that clock is ticking. And for some reason, that absolutely motivates me. So it might be hit or miss for different people. You can try it out, see if it works for you, see if that clock ticking is a motivator. It really does help me. But again, we kind of had different things that motivate us to write. So you'll have to see whether that sprint is helpful. And we also do writing sprints in the Indie Author Lifestyle community. We'll come together and we'll ask, okay, what are your writing goals? How many words do you want to get in? And we'll follow up on those goals as well. So if that's something that would be not as much pressure, you can do that too. And you can join us in the community, indieauthorlifestyle.com/innercircle. Or of course, going to the show notes, and taking a look at that. We'll have that link in every episode. But aside from using For the Words, I also use some tools that are more for publishing, like Vellum, that's formatting, that's more for publishing. And then I use a couple of other ones. One of my favorite tools I use for delivering to my advanced review team is BookFunnel. You can get an account, you can upload your files, and then BookFunnel will deliver your files for you. And then they also have a lot of promos that help with growing your email list, and then also for sales. And then they have, I think this is pretty new, but they have audio codes. So if you have audiobooks or you have a preview that you want to send to people, you can use BookFunnel to deliver that. And again, with BookFunnel, it's a slight learning curve, but their customer service is phenomenal. They're very helpful. It's very easy to pick up. It's definitely something I highly recommend for growing your email list and delivering your books to advanced review readers. And one thing I always hated about being an advanced review reader for people is that they would send me a copy of a PDF, and I honestly don't read PDFs. I just don't. Every time I think about it, like, my brain shuts down. I just don't read them. And so I like to go on my Kindle app on my phone, and that's how I read. So if someone sends me a file and that's the way that there is being delivered, I'm going to read. It's just going to happen. So that's great. And then Site Story Origin is something else that's very similar to BookFunnel. It is actually a free version, unlike BookFunnel. So that's also something else you can use. They also do have some other features like newsletter swaps and some other things that might be interesting, but just to really help you kick off your marketing and really work on that list building and then doing those cross promos with other authors in order to increase those book sales, which, let's face it, that we're all about increasing those book sales, and I absolutely love marketing. So that is definitely something I would highly recommend looking into. And then the final tool that I use is called Reader Links. I used to use something called Book Report, but anyway, it's just a way to track your sales and also track your data that's coming in. So it's just one place to go. You can see all your ebook sales, all your paperback sales, and if your books are enrolled in Kindle Unlimited, you can see how much money you're making from them. So at a high level, you can see, okay, this is my income. And then you can also import your advertising from Facebook or Amazon or I think even BookBub, just kind of whatever advertising you're using, you can import that. It'll automatically calculate your ROI for you. So you can see, okay, I'm spending $100 on ads and I'm making $400. My profit is $300 a month. What can I do to increase that? If I increase my ad spend, is that going to go up? If I do more promos, is my income going to go up? So you can kind of tell, like, these are things I'm doing now. This is what's working. And what can I do to make this work even better and to increase my income? Do I need to release a new book? Do I need to do a sale? So those are some other awesome things. And I also love reader links. It's because they allow me to create links for each book, and I can track them and see where people are buying my books from. So if I have social media links that are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, if people are clicking on those links, it's tracking them and telling me, okay, like, you're getting these hits from these social media platforms. If I have links in the back of my books for readers to click to link to my other books, it tells me that. If I have ads and I need to know, are people actually clicking on my ads? And then from there, are they buying the books? Then I use reader links to kind of figure out that information too. So there's a lot there. We can dive into the nitty gritty. I'll save that to another episode, but just to recap, those are some of my favorite tools aside from Scrivener and Vellum for the words, and also Book Funnel, Story Origin, and reader links. So that's it for me. All right. So Stephanie, is there anything else you can think of that our listeners should know about tools for writing and publishing?
As of right now, those are the biggest ones. I think that if they have those tools, they're good to go. My only other thing would be to get into a community, so that, because sometimes it can be like overwhelmed, you know, you feel like you're doing all the things, you know, which is why we encourage you to get in the Indie Author Lifestyle community, so that you can have that accountability. Because, you know, if we can call it a tool, then so be it. But community is important as well. You need that, not just for people to, you know, give you what tools you can use to better write, but also the people aspect of writing is important, because you can get feedback, you can get critique, you can get ideas, you can get motivation, you can get inspiration. You know, maybe someone's writing the same kind of story as you, and you guys can kind of bounce off of each other. And so the last thing I would encourage is, now, you know, we've given you ample amounts of tools for you to dive in, whether you have Mac or PC, whether you're a pantser or a plotter. And so now I would encourage, you know, to just get into a community, and I would highly advise the Indie Author Lifestyle community. It's awesome. We're there helping each other in the masterminds, especially sharing our process behind the scenes, so that we can all just become better writers together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly how you become a full-time author, a six-figure author, career author, kind of those goals that you definitely need those people to bounce ideas off of. The journey to becoming a full-time author on your own terms doesn't have to be lonely or hard. We have an awesome community where we chat daily, write together, and motivate each other. To be part of this vibrant community of indie authors living their best bookish life on their own terms, go to indieauthorlifestyle.com/innercircle for more information. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love to hear more from you. Leaving a rating or a review helps us to create more great content like this. Be sure to rate this episode and subscribe to the show. Thanks for listening to the Indie Author Lifestyle Show. See you inside the community.